Welcome to another episode of the official DigiMarCon podcast. Here's some of the latest top-voted keynotes, panels, and masterclasses from recent DigiMarCon digital marketing, media, and advertising conferences worldwide. Get ready to gain insight into emerging strategies, the latest trends, and best practices from industry thought leaders and experts to move your business, brand, or agency to the next level.
Over the last 18 months, events was one of the biggest areas to suffer during the pandemic, and it took away actually a lead funnel, quite a big lead funnel and quite a well-qualified lead funnel. And so suddenly we find ourselves having these conversations because it impacted us. I mean, I'm a marketer and I know just how much of an impact that had, and you know, losing one of those channels was just greater than I was willing to admit. So we did a lot to try and reimagine that space, to try and replace, you know, those kinds of events that we lost. So what we're going to do today is we're going to take a look back in the rear view and see what that impact was, but then take a well-established and healthy look forwards, because people are always asking us, what do you think about the future? What's coming next? So before we get into the future, like I said, let's take a look back. So in 2020, obviously everything shut down. What happened? So we switched, first of all, to doing more webinars. I am my best case study here because I can attest that we just said, all right, fine, let's spin out some webinars. Let's get more content out there. And do you know what? It actually worked. Our lead volume went through the roof. Lots and lots of leads, but not as qualified as our events. And so what we first learned is that a webinar doesn't really replace a virtual event. What you're at today is a virtual event. A single webinar doesn't really replace that. And there's lots of reasons why. And people can argue, because I know some people have said, well, a webinar is a virtual event. But the standard is just slightly different. And I think you might get a bit of that today when you're at this virtual event, noticing you're being hosted. There are lots of different types of speakers. There are lots of sessions that you can attend. It's just slightly different. And secondly, there was this tech acceleration that would have probably taken another 5 years. But actually, there was this sudden speed to satisfy the need for virtual events. And in that, there was a lot of experimentation, both from inside businesses as well as tech companies like Cvent, just experimenting with what could give that fully branded, highly engaged, live digital experience for people, for your attendees, so that you could try to recreate those moments of connection and collaboration at real events. So we flexed our muscles a bit about how to build those virtual events. And what we saw was registrations grow, to be honest, where some people would have a 100-person event, that moved into a 1,000-person event, and those people could come from all across the world. An example, we have our main conference in Las Vegas in America. And last year, we went virtual because we had to. And it was 40,000 people registered for that conference, which would usually only hold 4,000 people. So that 10 times the volume growth was a great benefit, in fact, of going virtual. And we're probably experiencing that at DigiMarCon today, when lots of people are tuning in from across the world and able to access content they wouldn't normally be able to do. So that actually was a great benefit. And even though it was hard and it was painful, we've learned a lot in our virtual experiences. But so on to the future, what does that mean? And lots of people, like I said, always ask Cvent, what do you predict for the future? Because we handle lots and lots of events, whether virtually, hybrid, in person. So they ask us, you know, what do you think for the future? What's coming? And I might not have a crystal ball, but this is better. I've got tarot cards, which help us to take a look into what's happening for the future. So let's start with card number one. So this is no surprise to anybody. And, you know, I would say this, trying to tout my virtual software here, but virtual and hybrid events are probably here to stay. How they stay and in what fashion they stay, that's to be decided. But someone said to me, a production company recently, this chit chat around hybrid events, though, yes, we're going to talk about it probably for the next year, eventually it might just kind of go away, because what you'll actually be doing is, I'm going to run an event and that event will have some virtual components, thus making it a hybrid event. But to set out and say, I'm going to go and have a hybrid event, probably will go away, Because what you'll need to do, as I'll show you later in this presentation, is start to think about why and what your strategy is. So, like I said, we know that virtual is going to remain a top priority. During several surveys we've done of our clients and prospects, they've told us, yes, I'm probably going to do more virtual into next year. We've seen the growth. We've seen the benefits. And we know that markets aren't exactly, we're not post-pandemic. I see a lot of people saying, you know, post-pandemic, this is what's happening. We actually are not post-pandemic. We are still in the pandemic. And so we need to be mindful that there might still be some safety issues and concerns around things shutting down or closing again at the drop of a hat. You need those leads. That lead funnel drying up just because you planned for an in-person event and now it's not happening, it's just probably not good enough anymore. You still need to keep things going. So we need to be mindful that actually virtual is going to become a main component of what we do. So what's next in my deck of cards? I wonder if anyone can make a prediction. Or maybe put something in the chat of what you think, or in the Q&A of what you think might be the future of events. You're quite quiet right now, but that's okay. You're probably enjoying this exuberant presentation. But do get into the chat and just, you know, share your thoughts on what you think the future might be for you. So second in my cards is planners and marketers silos starting to fall down. Now, this is a big thing for us at Cvent. Like I said, we used to talk to the planner audience quite frequently and say, hey, you planners, I know you're planning an event. Why don't you look at this? But actually what we noticed is that planners and marketers really collaborated. I certainly did within our organization. I've been an event planner, I've planned lots of events, but I'm a marketer through and through. And I know that I have a colleague who said once, I don't think I like events, because she is a demand gen machine. She loves digital journeys, tracking, capturing data at every point. And when people would go off and have events, and the events team would say, right, we're going to run these events because you're trying to, you know, fill your lead funnel, so we'll have these events. What would happen is these people would go to the events, but we couldn't quite understand exactly what they were doing at the events. Not like when they're on your website. When they're on the website, we can track when they entered, the time they spent on the pages, the clicks, the heat maps, and see exactly what that person's doing. But when they go off to an event, they're having a chat in the corner with a cup of coffee with someone, and I can't capture what that person's talking about. So as a marketer, quite upset. And I think that's what she was trying to say, that as marketers, it's challenging to get all of that tracking and that data at events, at live events. But so over the last 18 months, marketers' dream, all of those events moved online. And suddenly, I see that you're in the room. I can see that you're chatting. I can see the questions you've asked me. Every part of my event that is online is trackable and measurable. And so I think that pause, the marketer and the planner, if they are separate roles, because obviously some people do both, but if they are separate roles, it caused those two communities to come together and really say, ah, why are we having this event? How are we capturing data? Where does that go? Where will it funnel? And we have much better conversations with marketers now than we ever have before. So we predict that that's going to stay. There's no reason for it to go back, and nor should it. So my third and final prediction. Let's turn over the card. Event tech and event data mature. So that's what I've been talking about, all these points of data that we can capture. It's all potentially in a siloed tech stack, and that can't continue. It needs to mature. It needs to grow. And the tech that we are, you know, looking at now is much more geared up for a universal program architecture, for understanding all of those bits that I've just spoken about before of data capture points, maybe trying to track movements and therefore feeding that back into your other systems, so that you can have a joined up view of all of the data points that you've been capturing and are now going to try and capture in the future. So what does that mean? Altogether, it means that you need to start looking at your strategy. You need to be a bit more strategic in your events and your events channel. And that's what we're going to really be talking about. It's events as a channel, as a real life channel that you're not, it's not the dark funnel. I've been reading about the dark funnel recently. Dark funnel, if you're not sure what that is these conversations that your buyers, potential buyers have with their uncles and aunties before they come to you. It's the conversations you don't know about. It's the research they're doing that you can't see or plan for. And it's about trying to get into that and lifting up the cover to see, well, where are these conversations happening and what are they about? And how do I feed that back into my tech systems? So if you're a bit more strategic about your events channel, you might start to see, well, actually, there's a trend of they come to this event and they do this and they take that action and then they do this and then they go to another event and they take that action. And that will help you to think about the flow across your total event program. And that's something we've been talking a lot about at Cvent, is that total event program. It's not one event. It's not siloed. It's not the planner's job. And then the planner will tell you what happened. It's about thinking about it strategically and holistically. And so that leads on quite naturally to the team. Your team will become much more solidified and unified in how they work together. And the team will work together through the technology. And hopefully the technology supports that unified way of thinking and that capture and output so that you can use the data that you capture, not just take it all in. So looking at that, we're looking at these buyer and customer journeys. What does that mean? Well, here you'll see all of those points I've been talking about, all of the different things that your channel probably is already doing. It's just about, are you being strategic about it? And are you using those data points in the right ways? So on here, you'll see you've got industry conferences, you've got webinars as those events, but there are lots of things happening around these awareness and consideration stages that are not just events, but it feeds in quite nicely. And I love the fact that this is a kind of up and down flow, because the path, to be honest, isn't even as linear as this. People tend to bounce around quite a bit when they're in that buyer journey. And like I said, in that dark funnel, and they kind of might do one of these things, see you in a press release, maybe watch a webinar, but then they leave you alone. And you're like, well, I thought you were engaged and suddenly you're not. They're doing other things probably. And it's up to us to then capture them back in through maybe some digital marketing, but then lead them on that journey that takes them to an event maybe, because that's where you get those real deep engagement points at the event, capture the data, feed it back in and weave it through. And it doesn't stop once they become a customer. That customer journey is super important. We take it very seriously at Cvent, and I'm sure you do too. You know that a customer buying is less expensive than getting acquisition. We all know that. So we need to then keep that journey going for the customer. So once it's closed, we need to onboard them. Then we need to help them to adopt our software or whatever it is we've sold, whether it's a car. How do you get the best use out of your car? You want to keep them going so that they know, I'm loved. I understand how to use your technology or your car. And I might come back again. I might buy again. I might do something else. So it builds that loyalty, that trust. It helps them to continue to work with you. And that can happen through events as well. So we're looking, I mentioned the dark funnel. Funnels tend to be linear. Like, we know they're not, but it's the best way for us marketers to figure out what we're doing, to be honest, to have a nice funnel on the screen. So through this opportunity of looking at your total event program, you start to see this cross-event, cross-channel traceability and visibility, and it helps you to see your buyer a bit more clearly. And it's better than the original thing you do with your events. How many people registered and how many people came? To be honest, some years back, I would guess that those were my event metrics. Did they come? They registered? They came? Fantastic. But without that holistic approach, your events will remain in a silo, and it will just be this offline channel that you cannot track and you can't figure out. And like I said, for me, my events, yes, you know, for customers, we want to get adoption and loyalty, but in that buyer stage, I need qualified leads. And you're going to get better qualified leads from events. Just going to put it out there. Someone might argue with me, but you're going to get better qualified leads from events, but you're going to get better qualified leads from events you can track and data that you can feed back into your sales team. And your sales team will thank you for it. We did some research about 3 years ago where we asked the attendees, why would they buy from us after attending an event? And they said two things majorly. If you get back to me quickly, I know that you're interested, as in, you know, the vendor, get back to me. I met you at the event, talk to me within 72 hours was the time frame. And the second thing they said was, know why you're getting back in touch with me. Yes, I came to the event, fine, I'm a lead. But if you call me, if you pick up the phone or you send me an email, you should have enough data about me that you understand why you're calling me, why you're sending me an email. You need to have all of that data. And there's no point in that data living in a silo with your event planner or in some technology that's just, you know, here's your event technology. But actually, your Marketo system didn't know what that was, your Salesforce system didn't know what that was, or whatever technology you're using. And that's what we're trying to break down with this data-driven strategy of how you run your events as a channel. So let's simplify that a bit. We were looking at all those touch points before. Here's a bit of a simpler view of this. So this might be, you know, a very simple event strategy that you know you're going to do throughout the year for a particular group of people. So you might say, okay, I'm going to start with the webinar, which is not technically a virtual event. And then they might come to an industry conference that I'm attending, that I'm maybe exhibiting at, and they might have a little bit of an experience there, but then they might have a seminar, go to a trade show, go to something else, a dinner, maybe another webinar in there. And as they're onboarding, as they've said, yes, this is great, I love you guys, you then give them some user training, go to a user conference, maybe some certification. This is a typical CVent journey of what would happen with our customers. And then they go to, you know, community advisory boards and all sorts. So there is a journey for your events channel. They shouldn't be single events that you see as a one-time affair, one event for one audience. It must track and it must keep going so that you give that kind of joined up experience for your attendees and your users. And so I'm going to give you another CVent example because we are the biggest user of our technology. So some years back, in about 2015, it was decided that we needed to do something for our customers for a particular reason. And so we grew something we now call CSGs, which are customer success groups. But that didn't come out of thin air. It all started with the audience. We knew that the target audience was for our customers. And like, we must do something for them. They're great, you know, they're using our technology, but we want to help those customers. So the problem that we were facing back then was the adoption with the existing customer base of, you know, different bits of our technology. Because in our platform, we have registration, but they might struggle to adopt the next bit, like maybe a mobile app or something else that's come along. So we want to help drive the adoption of CVent technology with those customers. So we started there. And you'll see where I'm going with this, because a lot of people start with, I want to have a dinner. And that's not a good idea. You need to start with, what am I doing? Who am I doing it for? And why am I doing it? It's all about setting those really important goals right up front. So once we've realized, right, we want to help these customers solve this issue with adoption, we need to figure out, well, what is our next offer? What is the action we're going to take from that? And we're like, oh, we'll have an event. It's at that point we say an event is how we're going to help drive the adoption with these customers. I know a lot of people that will come at that the other way around, especially during these times where they've said, okay, fine, this hasn't worked. We're just going to have an event and we'll have a virtual event. And actually, they haven't thought about all those first bits of who is it for? Why are we having it? And quite frankly, that doesn't set you up for the best success of the event because you don't know what you're measuring. You don't know what you're going to track. You don't know what your key goal is and key outcome is for the event. So if you go this way around, what we're hoping will happen is that you'll be able to figure out what the experience should be for those customers. So if the purpose is to drive product adoption by way of a training event, you have to start asking yourselves, well, could I do that in a virtual environment? Maybe it's yes. Maybe I just need this version of the one-to-many speaker so that you can take your notes and get trained. So in that case, virtual event all day long probably works for you, because there's not so much interaction needed. But if you need that training event to have a lot of interaction back and forth, two ways. Maybe you just find the right virtual event technology, or it has to go in person. You need to think about that up front. So if the purpose of the event is to accelerate those opportunities through networking and relationship building, which often happens at our CSGs, other customers meet other customers and say, well, actually, I've been using this. It works quite well. If you're struggling with that, here's how that can get better. So that's how you can make that decision to say, well, that kind of event definitely needs to be in person because I need that level of interaction amongst the attendees. So I need to pick an in-person event for that because that is the goal of the event. And if it's pure lead gen and awareness, well, what might that mean for your chosen strategy? You need to dive deeper into your audience segments to understand what kind of events will suit them. And then let's go back to that conversation we were having about your team. So getting your team to understand all of that and understand those goals and how we're thinking about the strategy, I think is now moving into the marketer's role. For some of you, it might have already been there, but for others, I think I can definitely speak for us. I know that our planning team was much more thinking about the logistics of the events rather than the strategic thinking of the events, whereas now we're really buddying together and we're thinking about the skill sets that marketers have in our digital world of tracking, and we're implementing that with our events. And in Cvent, our technology can, I mean, it's going to sound a bit stalkery, so just follow me with this. But once you've registered, if you capture, and again, registration is so important about capturing the right data in the reg process to suit the goal of the event, just like you spoke about. So if you capture the right data at registration, what that should help you do is once that person has their badge, if you're using something like RFID technology, I'm sure you've heard this before, you could potentially track the person around your event and know which dark corner they went to and what kinds of conversations maybe they're having. If you're using lead capture tools, you can take detailed notes of exactly why that person has come, what they're interested in, and feed that right back into your event tech system. And so understanding those goals up front, working with the right teams, making sure everything's in the reg, rather than maybe your planners just kind of saying, well, all I need to know is the dietary requirements. Kind of need to know a lot more than that at this time, just so we can make sure we're feeding the right data back into our systems. So once you've got your right team together, planners and marketers coming together, yes, you can start to look at the visibility and control of what planners would have looked at originally. We know that in a recent survey we did with Forrester, 66% of marketers said that they executed their marketing campaigns independently of the planners. And that's quite a high amount. So although, I mean, you know, put your hand up if you've always done this because you're ahead of the game, but we know that typically the planning team would take care of this visibility and control of logistics. And the marketers would just be like, great, that's happening. Fantastic. But that's now changed, where the marketing organization and the planners are saying, okay, well, who's the audience? What insights are we trying to get? How are we going to promote it? How can we help you market it? And there's a big debate around what event marketing actually is. Is it the promotion of the event, or is it using your events as a marketing channel properly in conjunction with the rest of the organization, with the sales team, and not just doing it as a siloed, I've said that quite a few times, but just not doing it as a siloed event, a one-off, a dinner. They all have to work together to give you the proper program impact and so that you can measure the right KPIs for your business and then feed that back in. So what does all that mean? So we did our in the past, we've done in the future. What this means is you can drive efficiencies through understanding the right data and the right technology you should be using. And I'll give you an example. If you were looking at your marketing automation systems, would you run Marketo and Eloqua alongside each other at the same time? I wouldn't. Would you use Salesforce and maybe HubSpot at the same time? I know I wouldn't. That is disjointed. There is no reason for it. Even if there's benefits of, I've used HubSpot before, I've used Salesforce before. Even if there's benefits of using some of the tools in the HubSpot system, it would be inefficient for you to run that at the same time and capture things in one system that you have to then feed over into another system that's doing pretty much the same job. So why would you do that with event technology? And we've seen this a lot. People are using disparate systems to do different parts of that data capture and capturing different parts of those journeys that we looked at before. Then having to think about how to tie that all back in together so that when you pass your leads over to your sales team, they have a good, well built up picture of who they're talking to. That is inefficient. And I know the speaker before me was talking about automation and, you know, planning. And I did put in the chat, automation takes a lot of planning because you can't just say, oh, great, it's automated and it's done. That can't happen. But what you can do is invest in the right technologies to ensure that the automation is smooth and is easy. And if you've thought about the goals and you've thought about the objectives and you plug that into your systems, the automation part should get easier. And we know that at Cvent, we've thought about all of those parts of the event journey, but we've also thought about the marketer, and we've ensured that the right connectors are in place to get you back into your systems, whether it's Marketo, whether it's Salesforce. It all integrates so that you get one source of truth, one really consolidated area where you can get all of that data back out and use it. Because I can't tell you how many times I've spoken to event planners and marketers that tell me about all the data they've captured, but they don't know what to do with it and they don't know how to use it. And that's where having that universal program architecture and a single source of truth really helps, because you don't need to overthink about what you're doing with that data. You just need to make sure it's going into the right places so that your sales team can see it, just like that. It's the same with Marketo. I remember when I first used the Marketo plugin into Salesforce, and I was like, hallelujah, because suddenly all of that information that I've been capturing in Marketo, I can immediately share with the sales team. It was in the view on the screen. So the sales team are not saying, hey, how many people have downloaded that brochure? What should I do with it? They can see, and they can see all of that data for the individual. And that's really important, because we spoke some years ago about personalizing things for individuals. So we need to make sure we're still personalizing, even though we've moved into this virtual world where we've got massive audiences all of a sudden. So, like I said, we need to activate this data. We need to use marketing automation, and we need to make sure that it all works together so that you can have actionable insights. It's not just about demographics and firmographics and registration and attendance, but it's about the activity that they do on site as well, like session attendance, feedback scores, combined with what you already know about the person through the other activity they've taken, so you can build a full picture of interest. So I'm going to finish this by showing you what that actually looks like. So here we have somebody who has come into your maybe website. And again, I heard another talk earlier where somebody was saying, if people are coming mostly to your homepage, you're not doing your job properly. And I completely agree with that, because really they should come in to something that is tangible for them, that's good for them to read or see or interact with. And maybe here it's a blog. You've become the authority in the space that you're in, and they're reading your blog. So you kind of know a little bit about the person in that they like what you've published. But then they start to go from your blog, if you've architected your blog properly, through your web pages, because you have the right links, and they start to do a bit of a journey through your web pages. So you know a bit more about this person. Then they attend a virtual event like today. Now, I can't see you, so I don't really know what you look like, just like this person on the screen. But you're here and you're somewhat engaged, I hope. So this helps me to build up it will help to demark on differently, to build up a bigger picture of like, this person came, registered, I know a little bit more about them. After this, you might get an email from DigiMarkOn, and you might open that email and they've said, I hope you enjoyed this session. Why don't you download this or go back in and watch on demand? And so then they know a little bit more about you. So suddenly I'm getting a clearer picture. I think it might be a lady, not entirely sure. And so then you register for a seminar and you attend the seminar. Now, suddenly I can see you a bit more clearly. I've seen the actions you've taken. I'm building up a picture of who you are. And after the seminar, I sent you an email because I wanted to follow up and say, I hope you enjoyed that seminar. Here, have something else. Download a case study. Hope you enjoy it. And finally, you come to my user conference because you bought something from me. You bought the product that I was trying to sell or the service. And I know who you are probably by this point. I know your name. I probably know your kids' names. I know probably where you live because I sent you some direct mail. All these different touch points have helped me to build up this picture of exactly who you are. And it's at that point that we can really build relationships, have the greatest level of engagement. And these events did not stand by themselves. The data from those events needs to integrate with all the other data from your web, from your paid media, to everything you're doing. It must integrate and come back together so you can build up a full picture of the people individually that you're talking to and personalize for them. So with that, thank you very much. If you'd like to learn more, you can visit more about the event opportunity, which is what we're calling this. It's about taking the opportunity that's given to us through events. Gonna just open the Q&A bar. If you haven't asked any questions, you've got 1 minute to get them in now. I do know that one of the most common questions that people tend to ask me is, how do they integrate all these systems? Like, is it difficult to integrate? And I can tell you no, because I know at Cvent, we've built APIs if we need to integrate if you're using systems that we're not familiar with, but we have relationships with people like Salesforce, Eloqua, Marketo. There are already pre-made, pre-built integrations there for people to use. So it's really not difficult. I know I made marketing automation sound hard before, but it's not, trust me. It's an easy process. It can happen if you plan it out, you think it through, and you work with the right providers. So with that, I'm going to say thank you. I haven't seen any questions come in, but I'm sure if some do come in, Aaron can pass them over to me. And so thank you very much for joining today. I hope you've learned a little something. Try to get through and keep on time. So I hope you enjoy the rest of the day. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the official DigiMarcon podcast. DigiMarcon is the largest digital marketing, media, and advertising conference and exhibition event series in the world, holding in-person and hybrid events in over 40 cities annually across 22 countries, as well as virtual events and an international cruise. Learn more about upcoming DigiMarcon events near you at digimarcon.com/events. Thanks again for listening to the official DigiMarcon podcast.